You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are in downtown Toronto. This is Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard. Today we are going to be jam-packed with guests. Sam Gagne of the just on fire Columbus Blue Jackets, Tyler Bozak of your Toronto Maple Leafs, and Doug Wilson, general manager of the San Jose Sharks. Going to need a shoehorn to fit everybody in today. And some news coming out of the Toronto Maple Leafs yesterday at this time, fueled obviously from a conversation that was held last Thursday between Doug McLean and Nick Kiprios, who are in studio with us today, on the subject of Jonas Enroth. You, Nick, cost Jonas Enroth his career with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I don't even remember what I had for breakfast today. Can you remind me what I said?
You were not happy with Jonas Enroth.
Yes.
You were not sympathetic with his 0-3-1 record, with his goals against average near four, with a save percentage of 87.
It's coming back to me
and
now.
And you went on a rant. Doug actually stood up for the goaltender.
Yes.
But the Toronto Maple Leafs obviously sided with you. And they waived Jonas Enroth, and he's done. They're going in a different direction.
Oh, I never even understood the signing to begin with.
Just pile on the guy.
The word
he just lost his job, and now you're saying he shouldn't have been in the league anyway.
The word was that the league and the model now is a 6'2 to 6'5 goalie, and they got rid of Bernier because they thought he was too small. And then you go and sign Enroth.
Well, they got rid of Bernier because he was $4.5 million, and this guy's $750. That was part of the equation. And they'll take a couple inches shorter to save the $3.5 million.
Okay. And, like, this is the – like, we know all the big clubs lost their advantage with the salary cap because everyone needs to be the same. But this is an advantage for the Leafs. They signed him. They gave him, what, $750 a year?
Yep.
And now, don't like him. A month later, 6 weeks later, gone. Doesn't cost you a thing. Free signing, free situation to get rid of him.
You got six games.
That and was a six-game tryout for $750.
They were hard games.
And that, while some teams, Doug, it's $750 now, just a waste of money. But that's the advantage of being the Toronto Maple Leafs. You don't care.
Just
$750, don't care.
Just so you know, though,
get rid of him.
Kerry Romo, who's been rehabbing from injury, has been with the team for this season. He signed an amateur tryout with the Toronto Marlies.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not a waste of money because he'll end up going to Europe and they'll nullify the contract and it's over.
Well, it is a waste of money.
You would have
for
to have a
big club, it doesn't really matter.
Well, you still would have had to have a backup anyway in the same salary. So now moving forward, you know, I suspect he'll end up going back to Europe and it'll be null and void, the contract. You know, so really it's...
Why would you null and void it?
Well, if he goes back to Europe, you don't have to pay him. If he sits out, you have to pay him. If he stays here and sits out, you have to pay him.
I'd make sure I get all my money.
I mean?
Plus, I'd get the money over there.
Well, that's what I'd try to do.
If he sits, he'd be assigned somewhere. Right?
No, I know that. But if he stays here, they have to pay him. So if he goes to the Marlies, they have to pay him. But I'm saying, if he goes to say he decides to go to Europe, then they could, you know, get rid of the contract.
And Ramo is a better goalie. He's bigger. He's more athletic. He's a better goalie.
It's all about health, you know.
He's not coming off a great season. I also watched him 2 years ago, and they were a mess last year in Calgary.
Enroth's numbers the last 2 years have been good.
Defensively, they are.
So have Neubers.
They were a mess last year. Okay, I like Ramo better, and I think Ramo can turn himself into more of an asset.
Yeah,
come March,
he'll be great. He'll get those 4 to 6 games in the back to backs when the team's sitting there waiting for him, and see how he does.
And he's depending bigger. Where you are in March, could move him. Teams could want him to be one of the goalies that's exposed.
You need somebody to waste.
He's got a better chance of turning himself into something for the Leafs than Enroth ever did.
You need, when the team's tired and your goalie's tired, to have somebody you can throw in there and take the heat. That's what you got to do. You talked about that the other day. You're going to get the bad games, and that's fine, I guess.
Tyler Bozak's coming up, the Toronto Maple Leafs forward, at the bottom of the clock, and he's had a great season, a resurgence from where they were a couple of years ago, and made himself into an important part of this this core going forward. So we look forward to that, along with Doug Wilson, San Jose Sharks general manager, and Sam Gagner, the Columbus Blue Jackets. 11 minutes of ice time last night, and he had a four-point game. So we'll chat with him. One of the best bargains in the NHL this year.
If he would have got 22 minutes, he could have tied his record.
Yes, eight, yeah. It's a kind of a weird thing. You look, they've got him listed on the fourth line, and yet he's. You don't see many guys that are on the fourth line. Maybe it's the new NHL. You're on the fourth line in the number one power play.
That's the key for a skilled guy like that. Quality ice time on the power play.
Craig, Frederik Andersen and Antoine Bibeau are the Toronto Maple Leaf goaltenders at practice today ahead of the game tomorrow night against the Minnesota Wild on Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. But the Toronto Maple Leafs are, there's no giving way to ceremony. And because you're an NHL veteran, you automatically get some rights around that organization. Zero.
It's the blueprint now.
It's cutthroat.
It's cutthroat. And again, it's Lou Lamoriello possibly in Jersey would have taken a lot of heat for having a lot of veterans in the minors or the money or whatnot, but not with the Leafs. It's a financial advantage that the Leafs have is that they can go and bury $20 million somewhere else, whether it's IR, whether it's the Marlies, whether it's
Robidoux Island. It's just off the coast of, it's right in the St. Lawrence somewhere.
Is Peter Holland there? Did he arrive? Did we hear whether or not he arrived?
He's there as well on Robidoux Island. It's just off, you know where the Champlain Bridge is?
Yes.
Just off that. Yeah. Somebody told me, is this accurate? Somebody said that they have $11 million on the Marlies fourth line.
Well, you've got two guys making three and another one making 1.5.
That's right.
Not 11. It's only eight and a half.
So what?
It's only money.
They don't need to apologize to anybody.
No, Rogers and Bell don't care.
If you want to do it, you do it.
Rogers, I mean, they own 33% of the team. What's $11 million in the minors?
You want to spend $20 million?
Who cares?
Go spend it on other players that you don't use.
What's 8.3 in the minors to the owners? Doesn't
matter.
It's 8.3 out of their pockets is what it is. It's 8.3 out of the owners of the
Leafs. They're one of the few teams that can do it.
Yeah.
But
if you're making $100 million, wouldn't you rather make $110?
Listen.
Or if you're making $90 million, wouldn't you rather make
$150?
Huh? They're making $150 million, wouldn't you rather make $160?
It's okay now.
It's okay now.
We'll have a lockout or a strike coming up soon, and
won't be so good then.
No, we're not.
We're not so good then.
Hey. And then it's like,
are you going to ask Mr. Bettman that at the Breakers?
I'll get David Amber to ask him that.
Okay. Board of Governors meetings this week down south.
I won't be in Florida this weekend.
You won't be.
I will not be.
You guys, where were you 13 be? Goals in one game last night. 13 goals.
Yeah.
Like that's a good night total. For four games.
Yes.
Never mind one game. Ottawa falls to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
And
8-5.
Pittsburgh scored four consecutive goals. I mean, they're hitting
Calgary almost. Scored seven straight the other night.
Yeah.
But that's
Anderson
that's awesome. Eight goals in a
Anderson,
game for,
Craig
for
Anderson,
both Calgary and Pittsburgh.
Anderson gets pulled after the penalty shot.
Yes.
And there was what, like 6 minutes left in the game? At that point, don't you just leave him in there?
I don't know. You don't... Here's the thing.
It's like if you were going to pull him, wouldn't you have done it earlier?
Halfway through the second.
Maybe off the Kessel goal, which I don't know. I mean, it's just at that point, you're like, okay, just finish the game. But I don't know.
What do you think of the penalty shot call? I've never seen many goalies. I don't know if I've ever seen a goalie get pulled after a penalty shot, ever.
Did he hurt his chances of getting a good quality shot on goal?
I don't know what a penalty shot call is anymore.
No,
I see other times where it's dramatic and it's a hook.
Is there any chance Coley
a hook and not a slash?
Darren,
yeah.
Is there any chance Coley could phone in and explain what a penalty shot is to us?
If he phones in anymore, he's going to be part of the staff. Now, there's a big difference. There's a big difference.
Does he need to trip? Does he need to fall? Does he need to be pulled down?
That was the eighth goal, right? The penalty shot goal. Seventh.
Okay. It was a good slash. Yeah. Was it not a good slash?
I think mentally, and this is just purely opinion.
Can I see it?
There's a big difference talking about making the change between sitting in that room, having given up seven, and sitting in that room. I just gave up a snowman in the National Hockey League.
And he's never done that before.
Never. So
you're okay.
Personally,
you're okay coming out with
I want to get out of there. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I've just never seen it. I have never seen it.
Being pulled that late?
Never. No, being pulled after a penalty shot. Mm. I don't ever recall seeing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, seven.
Seven.
He avoided the snowman.
Psychologically, you don't want the snowman.
I like the confusion on penalty shots because you never know when you're going to get one in a game. It's kind of exciting. You know, you get 2 minutes, you get nothing, or you get a penalty shot.
I'm okay for every breakaway. You take away my ability to get a good shot on goal because I've established that territory to do it. I'm okay with it.
I am too. But then there's other times where there's just a penalty.
Yes, I agree. I agree. There's sometimes I watch the same thing and I'm going, how is that not a penalty shot?
I would like there to be more penalty
shots. Next time I run into Coley Campbell, I will get clarification on that.
You won't,
I think he's tired.
Remember.
I think he's tired of you not doing your homework. That's what I think.
I agree.
I'm not fully to help you anymore.
I listen to that show. So you ramble on for 2 days about that, and then Coley comes on to explain it, and you agreed with everything he said.
Yes.
But you know what? I antagonized him enough to call. That was the whole thing.
That's the way he used to be at the Board of Governor meetings too, right? No. You go in there. Yeah.
You know what he used to be like with me? I'd phone him between periods and after games, and then they would keep the voicemail and laugh about it after. Just to bother me. It's good. Anyway.
You think they're the only ones that do that?
No, they do it to a group. No, I don't know. I don't know if they do it. I know a couple of them did it with me. I wouldn't say they did it with anybody else. I'm not getting them in trouble.
So they would save your rants and then around the dinner table, put it on speaker.
Steve Wacom told me he saved mine and he listened to it for 4 years after I was out of the league. He just, every time he'd get down in the dumps, he'd put it on and it used to cheer him up, hearing me so cranky.
Jack Eichel against Connor McDavid tonight. Looking forward to that one. And Jack Eichel is going to play.
Yes.
A little bit worried last night when he was on the bench. And, like, pure agony.
But you know how many guys have come back from high ankles and re-aggravate? It wouldn't have surprised me. It happens all the time because they're so anxious to get back in. It's such a tough injury.
Should we have doctors pulling out high ankle injuries from New York?
Should bring the guy in to do a stand-up on one of these sets.
They potentially see a high ankle sprain.
I hate them.
Maybe you get them off.
Don't start mocking concussion spotters.
Go to an ankle room.
No, let's not go there.
I'm sorry. It's here.
I know it's here.
And you're going to have to live with
it. Listen, I suffered a concussion. I know it's here. And I think the concept and the idea is good, but it's flawed beyond belief.
It's never going to be perfect.
No,
hey, listen,
no, get it a lot more perfect than it is now.
Kippy,
than it is now. We pulled guys off the ice with different injuries, okay? Different injuries than concussions. They've gotten it wrong.
It's not going to be perfect, it's better than the alternative.
Can we ask Coley what was said to what was said to that official that called McDavid off the ice? What was really said to him after that? Good job?
It doesn't have to
That's a good job?
Don't do it at all or it sucks, okay? Those aren't your only two choices.
But that's your opinion.
No, I'm telling you right now, it's flawed and it's... Yes. And it's not good enough.
But it's also
it's not good enough. We cannot pull guys off the ice that have a rib injury when you think from New York it's a concussion. We can't have that. I'm sorry.
Not when it's... Yeah.
So you disagree with McDavid being sent off the ice?
Yes, I disagree with that.
Because the way he hit his head?
The way he hit his chin.
Was, I would have, well, that's part of his head.
Yeah, but it was his chin.
Every time someone.
I agreed with that call.
And I'm telling you, every time someone just, if there's a situation like that, you're going to pull everybody off the ice. Everybody?
If he bangs his head on the ice like that? Yes.
So what about a fight? We saw the good Branson and Martin.
And Martin.
And he gets buckled. And
I'm surprised.
Those guys
nothing
should,
happens there.
I'm surprised.
So I mean, those guys should go, they should get assessed too. They should get assessed. In fact, that's more of a reason to assess a guy when you've just been punched in the head.
And, yeah, and I don't know whether it's happened after a fight.
I don't know either. That's why we need clarification from our expert clarifier.
But it's still progress.
I'm all for progress.
And they tweak everything.
I'm all for progress.
No. Like this isn't going to be the same way in 3 years as it is now.
I feel sorry for the guy in the stands.
I can't wait 3 years.
That has to make the call.
I'm not waiting 3 years to
I feel sorry for the athletic trainer, certified athletic trainer with elite hockey experience sitting in the stands or sitting in the room making that call.
Saying, you know what? I want
Connor McDavid.
And I want a doctor to assess him the moment he comes to the bench. That's what I want. I want the first decision that he cannot play now for until he's tested again. And I suppose that's what you're doing, right? Is you're going back to the room.
He's just going around the corner.
You're gone minimum for what, 10, 15 minutes? You got to go through a baseline testing again? Same one that you had in September? That's what they're kind of testing you against?
I think the Connor McDavid situation is proof that this plan, that this program, the setup, is working. Here's Sam Gagner from the Columbus Blue Jackets. We're just talking about concussion protocol.
That's a bold statement, and then to end the conversation.
No, it is. It's proof that it's working. You're taking a star player out.
Well, he didn't have a concussion.
Sam, have you been taken out of a game because of this this concussion spotter realizing that there's maybe something wrong?
No, I think I was asked earlier this year one time just how I was feeling because this spotter had asked, but never been taken out yet, which is a good thing.
What do you know what happens if you're taken off the ice? What kind of tests or something that you're put through?
Is it an automatic that you go through this baseline testing again?
I don't know. I haven't been through it. I know the other day, I know Ryan Murray got taken out for one earlier this year. And, because I was there, I guess I did a test to see, you know, how far Murray had gone off and how far I had gone off from my original baseline testing. You want to see a healthy guy versus the guy who's in question. That's as far as I know. And then I'm sure they do like the same baseline testing that we do at the beginning of the year, but I don't know for a fact.
Sam, we did see a level of frustration with some Edmonton Oilers. Connor was not happy. Patrick Maroon had some choice words. Is there a sense that there is a frustration or that it's working and it's good?
I mean, you never want to see your best player taken out, an important part of the game. You know, especially as the games get, you know, even more important down the stretch or into the playoffs. But at the end of the day, the health of the players is the most important. I think, you've seen guys that have battled with concussions and, you know, guys miss entire years, guys at the end of their careers are still having troubles. And at the end of the day, that's more important than any hockey game. And that's something that we got to remember, you know, at the same time. You want as a player just to, you know, for them to make sure that, you know, there is actually a risk and you don't want guys getting pulled out when, you know, things are okay. But I think, as players, we have to understand that it's in place for a reason and, it is working. So, it's something that, you know, we have to respect.
Sam, just looking at the lineup sheet, it would appear that you're spending a fair amount of time on the fourth line in Columbus, yet you're on the number one power play. You don't see that very often. You know, you're putting up a great number of points. First of all, what's the magic about this great power play? And What's with, can you not move a little higher in the lineup here eventually?
I think it's, you just got to continue to try and build trust throughout the year, you know, where you can be put out there in any situation. I think the nice thing for me is I've got an opportunity to play in really important situations. I've been out there, you know, for important power plays and, you know, late in games to try and tie games and three-on-three overtime. And, you know, that's always a good thing. I think, you know, there's times in the games where your team's pressing and looking to score. And, you know, those are the times in the games you want to be out there. And I've gotten a chance to do that this year. So that's definitely exciting for me.
Sam Gagner is with us.
As far as our power play.
Go ahead.
Power play, I just think we're all on the same page. We talk about it a lot in terms of what we want to accomplish. And, you know, we work really hard to get pucks back and have guys in the right spots. And, you know, from there we just make our plays and make our reads. And it's worked so far, and hopefully we can continue to do it.
Sam Gagner chatting with us. 15 wins, 5 losses, 4 others for the Columbus Blue Jackets in a battle for first place in the Metropolitan Division. Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. You have that record 8-point game. Nick, do you want to tell Sam what John Tortorella missed out on last night relating to ice time and
if
points?
If he doubles your minutes, you would have tied your record of 8 points. It's that simple, Sam.
Would have beat it. Would have beat it. I was fresh when I got out there. I was able to make the most of it.
You're on pace to crush career highs right now. Why?
I don't know. I don't really like to look at pace. I think, you know, I'm going to go through a cold streak at some point this year. I'll probably go through another hot streak, and that's just kind of the way, you know, things go. I think you learn that in this league that, you know, sometimes the puck goes in, sometimes it doesn't. But it's just a matter of staying consistent with, you know, your thought process and everything that goes along with that. I think, you know, for myself, I learned a lot last year, you know, through all the ups and downs. And I feel like my mental strength is a lot higher, and I think everything happens for a reason. So I'm feeling a lot more comfortable this year, and I feel like I'm ready for every opportunity, and I'm just kind of going with that. I think being on a really good team definitely helps. You know, everyone's playing well, and we're getting contributions from everybody, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of.
Hey, Sam, can you talk a little bit about that mental toughness? Because I've played with high picks like yourself who have come in and had great success early. But when it starts to go south on them a little bit and then they find themselves either traded or waived or with a few clubs, they don't get it back. They just, they're just not used to that type of adversity in their lives, even since they were 7 years old, and they don't have that mental toughness. How are you able to maintain your belief that you're a good hockey player and it's just a matter of time before you get your game back?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy league. I mean, it's the best league in the world for a reason. And, you know, I think when you go through some tough times and, you know, you play on some losing teams, it's just there's some things that are hard about it, and so there's some things you got to fight through, and you got to fight to maintain that belief. I'm pretty fortunate to have a great support system around me. My family and my friends are you know, so supportive, and that's really helped me. But I think for the most part, you just got to stay persistent with it and continue to work hard and continue to believe that things can turn around, and you know. All this is kind of short-term, and you got to have a short-term memory, because as much as things are going well now, they could turn around tomorrow and go the other way on you. So you just got to stay with it and continue to believe in yourself and continue to work hard through all that. And, you know, it's been a good start, so hopefully you keep it going.
We're really happy for you. That was cool last night on the 4-pointers and 10 goals already, so keep it going.
Good luck, Sam.
Keep it going, Sam.
All right.
Congratulations on a great start.
There's Sam Gagner. Tied for the team lead with 10 goals in the Columbus Blue Jackets. When we continue, Tyler Bozak of the Toronto Maple Leafs. He joins us to get an idea of what it's like to play with Mitch Marner. Now we're asking veterans what it's like to play with these kids. It's Hockey Central, you know, Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean on Sportsnet 590 Fan, Sportsnet, the NHL Network. And if you miss anything, check out our podcast on iTunes.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of the Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon continues. Cruising along on HC at noon with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McClain. Tyler Bozak's coming up in just a little bit, and then it's Doug Wilson from the San Jose Sharks. They had an odd schedule on the weekend. They had it off. Didn't even practice. He signed Brent Burns to the long-term contract, went off his normal stance of nothing more than 5 years, so the eight-year deal with Brent Burns. You know, five of the top six scoring teams in the NHL right now are from the Eastern Conference. Edmonton Oilers are the only ones that that fall into that group, so things have changed a little bit. You have Montreal, the Rangers with 95 goals, Pittsburgh, 88, Columbus Blue Jackets with 77, with getting production throughout their lineup. So also, I just want to remind you that Jack Eichel will be able to play tonight. He's going to give it a shot against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers this evening. Edmonton, the only team in the Western Conference in the top six in offense.
You all right? You're going to make it?
I don't know whether I'm going to make it.
What happened?
I'm just losing my
voice.
You're
actually getting a cold as the show progresses.
So, I think, is it my earpiece or your voice? Because I'm getting like a lot of crackling. And
crackling?
Are you it getting
might,
crackling?
It might be my voice. Here's Tyler Bozak. So I'm going to introduce Tyler, and then I'll close off the interview. But the rest of it is going to belong to Doug McClain and Nick Kiprios. Darren Millard here on Hockey Central. And welcome to the show, Tyler.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
So can you describe what this season is like compared to the last two, just in feeling around that room?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit more excitement. Obviously, last year we wanted to win too, and you know, things didn't go as planned. But I think with a lot of the new faces and the young guys we have in, and you know, the talent they have, it's just a lot of excitement around, a lot of buzz.
When you look around the room, do you feel old?
Yeah, I do actually. Actually, mainly only when I look at Mitchie. When I look at the other guys, I don't feel too old. But Mitchie looks pretty young. So every time I look at him, I feel a little older.
Yeah, you got to feel a little bit for Freddie Anderson. He comes in and the season starts off. It's tough. There's lots of pressure on him, but he certainly rebounded solidly for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all knew, you know, just seeing him in practice and in camp and everything, we all knew how good he really was. I don't think he was getting too many bounces early in the season. I don't think we were playing well enough defensively as well. So, yeah, I don't think we were ever nervous for 1 second, and he's been unbelievable for us. So, I mean, we'd be happier to have him.
Tyler, when you looked at the roster coming in, I think there was a sense, certainly from the World Cup, that Austin Matthews was going to be a pretty special player. But Mitch Marner, on the other hand, didn't have a great training camp last year. So how surprised are you that he was able to get off to the start that he's gotten off to?
Yeah, I mean, I think he matured a ton in a year. I remember just watching some of those Memorial Cup games and just seeing how incredible he was. And I was able to play with him right off the start. I think that first exhibition game I watched, and he pretty much took over the game by himself. So right then I kind of knew that he was ready to go this year. And then obviously, being able to play with him and see what he brings each and every day has been just an awesome experience for me.
What's the number one thing Babcock preaches to this young team? We hear him talk away from the puck, all those types of things, but what is there one thing in specific that he wants this young group, and including yourself, to focus on?
Yeah, I mean, I think he just wants us to play the game the right way. I think, you know, you tend to cheat a little bit and look for offense, especially when you first come into the league and you've got all these points in previous leagues. So that's the main thing you're kind of worried about, is getting points and scoring goals. But I think the main focus is just play the right way, do the right things away from the puck, play good defensively, and, you know, try not to cheat.
Tyler Bozak is with us on Hockey Central at noon.
Save it.
I know. Okay. Everybody know he's
don't
still
talk.
There.
He's battling right now, Tyler. So
is there any chance you won't be available Wednesday night?
Hey, the road trip 1-1-1. Certainly would have liked to have added a few more points. It didn't happen, but overall, your assessment of it, and more importantly, how is it off the ice in terms of you guys coming together? Because I always love those Western trips.
Yeah, those are always the fun ones. I mean, we have a really, really good group. Everyone gets along really well, so it's pretty fun. We got a lot of energy with the young guys. They bring a lot of, you know, smiles to the rink, and it's contagious. So we had a lot of fun. You know, I think we've played really well in Edmonton. It's a tough rink to go in and get a win now. Calgary, obviously, that terrible start. We didn't really give ourselves much of a chance. And then in Vancouver, I thought we played very well and deserved to win that game. And, you know, we weren't able to get the 2 points. But, you know, we got a big game coming up here tomorrow.
Really interesting to see your special teams. You know, your power play is 10th in the league. Your penalty killing 7th in the league. I mean, that's a major change from the past. I mean, you credit the kids, you credit the veterans, or is it just talent?
Yeah, I mean, I think our PK has been unbelievable, especially that game in Edmonton. We were short a lot of the game, and then they kind of stepped up for us and gave us a lot of momentum. But again, for the power play, you know, you get a guy like Austin and Willie working together on the one unit, and then you got a guy like Mitch on ours on the flank. So I think they add a whole new dynamic to those units.
Is it true that the mini sticks were coming out in the hallway in Edmonton and people thought the brick tournament was going on?
I was trying to get a little sleep getting away from my newborn on the road, but I think I heard those guys playing a bit in the hallway.
Hey, you know you have a young team.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
Mini sticks in the NHL.
I'm a curmudgeon, but I really like the shot of you and your little fella in the stands on the other side of the glass. I thought that was pretty cool.
that was an awesome moment. I'm excited to show him when he's a little older and understands, but it was a pretty cool experience for me and my fiance as well.
Great Tyler stuff. Bozak is with us on Hockey Central at noon. We had the debate earlier just on the concussion protocol and the spotters. Have you been taken off the ice during a game yet this year?
Not this year. I had my concussion last year, and you know what? I think it's a good idea. I don't think it's something you want to mess with. There's more important. I mean, ever since I had the kid, like I said, you realize there's a lot more important things than you know, coming back to that third period or whatever in the regular season when, you know, you got your whole life to look forward to. So I think it's a good idea. I think maybe sometimes they could call you off and you think you're fine, and that sucks because you want to keep playing. But, you know, I think it's in the best interest for all of us.
Didn't Mitch Marner get pulled off for that protocol, but he did not suffer a head injury? Do you recall that?
Yeah, I can't remember the game, but I remember, obviously, as a player, you're upset when you get pulled. Usually when you get pulled off in those situations, you got a power play, so you want to stay and at least have 2 more minutes to play. But yeah, it sucks going off when you know you're fine, but you know, sometimes you think you're fine too and you see the doctor and you realize you're not. So I think it's good.
Do you have any idea what Marner's doing out there? Have you developed that type of chemistry, or are you just watching like everybody else as he makes it up on the fly when he dips in and doodles around?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're starting to learn. I think me and James have kind of gotten to know each other over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. But he's a very easy guy to play with, Mitchie. He, you know, works so hard. He plays well defensively. And when he has the puck, you just try and find ways to get open. It's crazy how many battles he can win and how many times he's going to come out of the corner with the puck. So you just got to find ways to get open and support him as much as you can.
Thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. Doug Wilson's on hold, so we're going to let you go. But congratulations on the start, and fun watching you you become a father and enjoy that part of your life.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
There's Tyler Bozak on Hockey Central, with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McClain.
I've changed. I'm now with the league on the protocol after everybody. So do what you want. Take anybody off the ice you want.
Here's Doug Wilson. We spent a lot of time, Doug, today just discussing about these concussion spotters and the protocol and the ability because of Connor McDavid on Sunday night. And the Oilers missed out having their best player on a 5-on-3 briefly. Your take on it.
Well, I mean, there's a balance there. Obviously, you want safety of the players, and I think we as teams are pretty cognizant of, you know, our players and what the symptoms are, but I think this is just an extra level, and if it's, you know, it creates a safer situation for long-term concerns, then we're okay with it. Our players talked about it the other day, and they're comfortable with it.
Doug, you know, is there been a lot of discussion at the GM level about what happens at playoff time? What happens if you lose a goaltender? What happens? I mean, it just as the playoffs approach, it becomes a little more nerve-wracking. I mean, if you lose a top guy.
It does. I mean, obviously, every situation it gets jacked up, 3x when it comes playoff times. But it's an issue that's being dealt with by the league and at a much higher level than us as GMs, and that's okay.
Overall, you guys have been fairly healthy. I know there's a couple of key guys that have been out, but overall, your assessment of your start to the season, Doug?
Well, I think our coaches have done a great job because, the way the schedule is set up, we had two long road trips early in the year, and we went, I think, 11 days without a practice. So, to be able to win games during that time, we have our farm team out here in San Jose, and we've been able to bring up a lot of our young guys on a daily basis, which has helped a lot. And, much like every team, there's injuries. We've got Tomas Hertl out for a while, and we had Tommy Wingles out for a while, and a few other guys. But that's just the nature of this type of year. But we like the way we've played, and we've certainly reestablished ourselves at home now too, which is good. Our home record's 9-3, which was a little bit different than last year.
Doug, every time you negotiate a contract, you're frustrated by term, you're frustrated by dollars, or you're frustrated by both, or you're thrilled about it. I mean, we know how important he is to your team and how he's evolved since he's gone to San Jose. 8 years at that money, how tough a deal was that to consummate?
Well, I think we're looking at two things. Our commitment is to win, and we're a much better hockey team with Brent Burns, and there are not many guys, if any, like him around the league. So, we're pretty well aware of what the cost was going to be, and the big thing is he committed to us because he knows our ownership is committed to winning. He's a special player. I mean, he's 6'5", 230 pounds. He's a symmetrical athlete, in meaning that he can play a long time. That's what the going cost is to keep elite level players, and we're comfortable with it. And as I say, he makes us a better hockey team. And I'd hate to have been in next July with the potential of not having Brent be part of our team. So the deal came together. We're proud to have him be part of this organization, and we're very fortunate. We don't have a lot of committed cap space going forward, so we were able to do that deal, and we should be able to keep our core together for a long time also.
It's unbelievably nerve-wracking for a GM when you say, we've got to sign him or he walks for absolutely nothing. That's tough leverage.
It is. I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, you can't negotiate contracts until the last year of their deal. And that's just a reality. Our job is to make this be a place players want to play. And we've been very fortunate that whether it be Brent or Jumbo or Pavs or Logan or Pickles or Patty, they've committed to us. And, we're fortunate, the players talk. And if you've got ownership that's committed to winning and you create an environment they want to be part of, but there aren't enough, I don't think there's enough good or great players to go around. So when you have them, you want to keep them. And you're right. If you lose an elite level player in the prime of his career walking out the door, it's pretty tough to swallow.
You've been there a long time, and there's a commitment to winning, and then there's the commitment to winning now. And that's where you guys are.
Well, we're committed to winning now and for the future. I mean, we're very fortunate when you take a look at our guys that our scouts have done a heck of a job adding, 34 players in the last 2 years to our reserve list. And when you take a look at key guys that can play a long time, Martin Jones and Nets and Vlasic and Braun and Burns and Dillon, just to name a few on the back end, and then you've got Couture and Pavelski and Hertl and Donskoy, and you've still got some older guys that can play several more years because, we have a good team and they don't have to carry the mail themselves. So you're committed to winning right now, absolutely. But you do have to keep an eye on the future also.
What are you looking for now? What can enhance the Sharks' chances here? Maybe a depth centerman? What do you need?
Well, I think we're missing Tomas Hertl. I mean, it's much like last year when we had Logan Couture out for a long periods of time during the year. It gave an opportunity for some of the other guys to step up, guys like Chris Tierney, for example, and Donskoy and Carlson. Getting Tomas back will be really important to us, and it kind of slides everybody back into proper roles. And one thing, Nick, we want to do is we've always given our young players an opportunity, too, before we go outside. So the Timo Meyers and the Nikolai Goldobins and Kevin LeBanks and Marcus Sorensen, they're all going to get chances in the next little while, too. And that gives us a lot of depth, which, as we know, in a year like this, you're going to need 30 players. You're going to need a lot of depth. So we like our team, and seeing how these young guys kind of take advantage of these opportunities, I think will be a big thing going forward before we make any decisions at the trade deadline.
Doug, just a quick update on Timo. I mean, Timo Meyers, everybody, I mean, he was a superstar in junior, a solid, solid draft choice. Where is he as a player right now?
Well, he's a man-child. I mean, he probably would have made our team right out of training camp, but he came down with mono. And then this past weekend, he scored 4 goals. He scored 2 in each one of the games in San Antonio. So he's trending. You know, we want him to ripen a little bit and understand that, you know, to come in and play for Pete how we want to play. It's all 3 zones. He's done a heck of a job. So he's not far away from being able to come up and play and help us. And as I say, we got probably 5 or 6 young forwards there that we think we could plug in and we could trust if it was a playoff game tomorrow.
Hey, you mentioned Martin Jones, and I'm watching Friday night, and there's not too many goaltenders that can come out of a 2-1 win over a Carey Price, but man, oh man, he matched him.
Jonesy's been great. You know, when we acquired him, he was just the right age and the right body type, and you know, he wanted to be here. And I think what's great about him is he realizes that how our team plays defense, how our coaching staff has it, we don't give up a lot of chances, but he makes the big save when you need it. And you know, we think he's only going to get better going forward, too.
Doug Wilson's the general manager of the San Jose Sharks. 2020 hindsight is always makes the decision easier. But when you look back on it, do you wish you would have imposed a Lou Lamoriello no facial hair policy?
Oh, not a chance. We want all our guys to be themselves. We got a bunch of guys that the one thing they love to do, they love to play hockey. But we let them be themselves. And our coaching staff, you know, Pete and Boogie and Spotter and Johan Hedberg, I mean, you know, they're comfortable with that. As long as guys are ready when the puck is dropped, we're okay with it.
You know, there is beard growing contests across North America. Who has the better beard between the two of them, Joe or Burns?
I'm not touching that line.
But you're such a clean cut looking. Yes. I mean, you never have a hair at
you
a place.
Cannot what allow
the, what's
this.
What's the story on this?
You didn't see my junior pictures. You go back. I had a full afro when I played for the Ottawa 67s.
And the so big burn.
So did Darren Pang, though.
I'm not sure Panger ever had one, but that's I got a certain.
No, he had hair.
Well, you're right. Those guys, they are themselves because we saw the picture of them walking around Pittsburgh, no shirts on, just enjoying the life with the beards.
I love his suit.
California so living, suits. Baby.
Doug,
but you know what? We like them. We do. Yeah. Our guys, they're all themselves. And as they say, they share one thing, or they love to play and they love to compete. And they might be unique in how they look, but when the puck is dropped, they take care of each other.
You got to have fun playing this game, too. I mean,
You sure do.
Yeah.
You sure do.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the home record, especially because I know that was a grind a year ago. You've turned that around and keep it going. Thanks for joining us today, Doug.
Good luck, Doug.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Doug Wilson, the general manager of the San Jose Sharks. I like that they encourage them individuality with the team.
Yeah, I do it.
So you're not a big fan of Lou's rules.
I want to see.
You're really giving a shot at Lou Lamoriello right now.
Do you see the Twitter thing that the New Jersey Devils put out last month?
Yes.
And it was a New Jersey Devil player with a mustache, Movember, and a clean-shaven Toronto Maple Leaf player.
Lou doesn't even want alumni guys to have beards.
He's scared Tiger Williams. Yeah. Did you shave, Tiger? Yes, Lou.
That's a tough one for Lanny, isn't it?
You know what? I would FaceTime with Clark this weekend for his birthday, and he's got a bit of a beard going. I wish Lamoriello would phone him.
Yes.
And put the clamps on him.
We have 1 minute to go.
Good job getting through the show, by the way.
You guys can take us out.
Okay, very good job. I think you stuck it out. You're battling something. There's no question about that.
And we don't want you around us.
Right.
So take one piece of advice.
You said goodbye to Tyler Bozak, who's a guest, but you can't really give him the impression at the end of the interview to say, hey, Tyler, we got somebody better on right now. We're going to get rid of you right now.
We had him on hold.
I'm giving you a piece. Don't be the guy at the Christmas party that looks over his shoulder and goes, oh, I found someone better to talk
to now. By the way, I'm carrying the Christmas party money up to OMP. Look, I got the envelope right here. Don't tell anybody on the street.
He's not going to make it there with that envelope. You know that.
Going up young.
All right. We good?
$5 each is a lot of money in that envelope.
That's your way, that's your way of taking us off air. Is, yes. Are we good?
Are we good? We're
Have
good.
Have a good night, everyone.